Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in North Bushy. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Thank you. Hi, guys. I'm Joe, and youth worker here. This is my fifth year in this building on Sundays. Speaking on hearing from God, no pressure, right? No pressure to pray real hard the whole week so that Jesus talks to me more. No, doesn't work like that. Before I start what I have had planned, ironically, I think I heard something from God beforehand, so we're going to share that first. I had a picture of a person really crippled and weighed down by the word should. Just absolutely crushing the life out of them. And the idea that God was saying that there might be more than one person here who is just crippled by what they should be. And that God wants to break that because it's a lie. It's just not true. Who you are right now is good enough for God. And that's a huge part of being able to take risk for God, is that you won't be ready one day. You're not ready. You're never ready. Otherwise, it would be you giving the words you're giving and the prophecies and the prayers. It's not about us. And whether it's just for me, because I have this as well, as I should be this, I should be that. But at the end of this, I'm not going to speak for too long, so we've got time to pray for one another. If that's you today and you are crippled by the father, the mother, the brother, the Christian you should be, and you aren't content with who you are right now, and you don't know Jesus' love for who you are right now, please get prayer at the end. I asked God how on earth I'm qualified to speak on this, and he said, you don't mind taking the risk. It's not that I'm necessarily here more than any of you. It's not that I have any special powers. But I really genuinely don't mind looking like an idiot if I know it's God. So that's good. And that's why I think I'm here. Because, I'm going to try and share what I think God said. And I don't mind looking like an idiot if I'm wrong. So. And by the way, Max, you're amazing. You are. Sorry that makes you uncomfortable, but you are. Something to ponder as we go forward. What makes a good sheep? Just have a think. What does a sheep have to do to be a good sheep? Anyway. So, I think we all know that prayer is important. I think Barbie did a great job last week of saying how prayer can help us in every area of our life. And today, specifically, we're focusing on prayer as a way of hearing God. So the two things that I'm focusing on today is that first, we can hear God. Not how to, but we can. And secondly, time with Jesus opens our heart and our ears to hear God more. That's the right order, though. We can hear God, and spending more time with Jesus helps us hear him more. Not, we have to spend loads of time with Jesus to hear God. That's the old school way. That's the law. That's the work really hard, and Jesus will use you. That is sometimes how we do life, but isn't actually true. So the Bible verses that inspired today's talk are from John chapter 5. And so Jesus is going to the temple. It's the Sabbath. And he's walking along, and outside the temple gates are a lot of crippled people, a lot of lame people, people who need healing. And Jesus tells this man who's been on his mat for ages, stand up, carry mat, you're healed. It's this incredible miracle that just happens, and it's all very nonchalant from a Jesus point of view. He's just like, get up, cool, see you later. The verses that follow this miracle are the ones I want to focus on. In John 5, 16 to 19, it says this. Because Jesus was doing these things, healing a poor beggar, on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work, to this very day, and I am working too. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. And that's my message mainly today, is that if we want to hear God, it's not about us trying really hard to work out what's the nice thing to do. It's having confidence in God enough to go, right, Jesus, what are you doing right now? And literally walking that way and just joining in. I think sometimes we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be these super duper all singing, all dancing Christians who are always happy and will save the entire world. That's never been our job. Because Jesus didn't even go and see everyone when he was here. He did the local area and left the rest of the world to the rest of all of us. So don't have this pressure on yourself to be super duper. It's a one person at a time thing. He just did what he thought his dad was doing. He literally walked to church, felt God say, you can heal that guy, prayed for him and he was healed. It wasn't some big tour with a stage and a bus and he went around and sorted everyone out. He just did his little bit one day at a time. And that encourages me that we can do that too. I can do that. I can do my little bit one day at a time. He only did what he saw his Father doing. Seeing and joining in, though, is both annoyingly simple and annoyingly complicated. How the heck do we just see what God's doing and how the hell do we join in? But I feel like we are a church that wants to do that. So we've got to try and work it out. So we need to know what God's voice might sound like. And let me just say, I promise you, you can hear God. You can. You just can. He's already speaking all the time. In those Bible verses you read, God is always at work. And it just takes time to learn what it might sound like for you. So prayer is how one of the main ways we can hear God. Spending time, prayer. Doing prayer on our own with other people. But what I hate is that in my mind anyway, when I say prayer, it actually means locking myself away for quiet time. And quiet time almost killed my faith. I hate it so much. Because it's just so confined. And I've got to sit here and wait and think and get anxious because I'm not being holy enough. And you just go around in these spirals of... So for me, quiet time is me doing it in my own strength. I'm trying really hard to be holy or look holy for no one, because no one else is around, but just so I can think I'm holy and hope that Jesus loves me. You know, that was what quiet time became, and it wasn't relationship with Jesus at all. And then I realized that might not be how I'm built. I might be made for something different. And don't get me wrong, if you love quiet time, please go for it. If you are that kind of person who loves to sit still and can do that, that's awesome. We need people like you. But it wasn't for me. It's not how I work. And this is where I realized that, and I think this, we can all do this, that we put on God, we put limits on what God's like. Oh yeah, God can only use me if I have time to sit still and pray. And we put limits on what prayer time looks like. We put limits on what a holy life looks like. So what is prayer time? It's not just shutting the door and being quiet. It's any time you put aside to communicate with God. It doesn't have to be quiet. As long as the motive is, Jesus, can we hang out? I miss you. It's prayer. The only thing that is a must in all this is to make time to do that. There's no other you have to do it this way. It's just the only thing I'd say is you have to make time. Otherwise it won't happen. It's like being a good youth worker, a good husband, a good parent, I should imagine. If you're not intentional about it, it's not just going to happen. But what can prayer and a relationship with God look like? It can be as creative as you are. It can be shutting the door, speaking out loud, spending time praying. Literally the traditional model of prayer. That's fine if that is something that brings you life and joy. Some of us may well speak in prayer languages. The gift of tongues is an incredible asset to any Christian. You haven't got the words to say, so you give your tongue over to God and he does it. But there's other ways. You can paint pictures, write a story, dance, sing worship songs to God, intentionally hang out with friends and just talk about Jesus over tacos at the Jones' house. Exercise, run and talk to God about your day and the things you're seeing and the people you're running past. I don't know why it came. Make a table. I don't know if there's any carpenters. Talk to Jesus about how he made tables and make a table. There's no rules. Just invite Jesus in to do it too. Yeah, climb a mountain, take a nap and ask God to use your dreams. Some of us just need naps. There's tired people in the room. I firmly believe we have made prayer more complicated and painful than it was ever meant to be. And I was going to get annoyed at whoever made quiet time, and then I realised it was probably the Church of England. So I can't. Anyway, we talk about having this relationship with God, and then we don't actually do it. It's like, yes, Jesus is my friend, but I don't treat him like one. Would I chat informally with a friend? Yes, I would. Would I walk up to my friend and give them a to-do list and walk off? Nope. They would not be my friend for very long if I just told them what I needed and didn't actually engage with them. Prayer can be wonderfully, beautifully creative. And it should be, because we aren't supposed to all be the same. And as long as the motive is, God, I want to be close to you right now. And I want to hear your voice. That's good enough for him. So, we officially have permission to relax and find ways to pray. I've started calling quiet time downtime with Jesus because it helps me relax more. Because it's just, I'll just do something with Jesus. I don't need to go and shut myself in the little bedroom and be quiet, you know? So that's a piece of homework. Find something that brings you life and do it with Jesus. So that's ways we might pray. And prayer is one way we can hear from God. But annoyingly, God doesn't use WhatsApp or email or any of the others. So what hearing God's voice sounds like is also as unique as we are. There's no, you'll know it's God if it's this. This is where faith comes in, because we have to test it and be like, God, is that you? That's weird. And then no one else knows what it feels like because it's unique to you. But here's some examples that I have been taught about, things that God speaks to me about, and my friends uses these things to talk to my friends, and I've just made a little practical list of things you might use. We might get, and this is what happens to me most often, a picture or a vision or an image in our brain that is oddly specific and really random. Just out of nowhere, doesn't make any sense to the logic of the conversation you're having or the moment, but you just see something out of nowhere. And a testimony of this is I've got a friend who lost one of their friends, died. And my friend was really struggling with the fact that God had let this happen. God obviously didn't care. What's the point? But they were kind enough to let me pray with them. And we prayed. And I didn't know this person who passed away. It's a friend of a friend. I never met this person. And the image I got was of my friend's friend in a kind of Cinderella-esque blue dress, just like twirling and dancing. And I was like, don't know if this makes sense, but I feel like God's saying that your friend is in heaven and they are just dancing and they're wearing this amazing blue dress. It's phenomenal. And my friend just broke down in tears because the person who passed away was a professional ballet dancer who always wore blue. And I just, it's not on me. I imagined something and went, God, maybe. But my friend, what tells my friend more that God cares than that? And my friend undoubtedly knows that the person she lost is dancing in heaven. Because God let me know a little bit of the detail. Because I asked him. That's another part of this. We have to ask. Secondly, can be visual in our minds, but it can also just be a thought. But a thought that catches us by surprise. My example of this was I was with a friend, a guy friend of mine. And we were just hanging out, and the word worthiness came into my head. But the weird part was that the thing that struck out to me was that the word thin is in the middle of the word worthiness. That's not normal. Like, you don't, what? Unless you're a nerd and like words, I don't think they're that interesting. But like, thin is in the middle of worthiness. And I just said, mate, is your sense of who you are linked to your weight? And he just started crying. He's not overweight at all. And so it's not like I was like, he's self-conscious. No, he's a good-looking guy. But God let me know in that moment, in a really bizarre English language way. Sometimes it can be a weird thought that catches us by surprise. Thirdly, dreams. This one's a bit more obvious, maybe. It's in the Bible. There's loads of people in the Bible who have dreams. And the advice is have a journal by your bed and write it down. Might not make sense in the moment. Weirdly, side tangent, but not last night, the night before, I dreamt that there was a leak in our flat and I couldn't stop it. And then Beth was late to church today because the flat upstairs burst a pipe and leaked all over our stuff. Not that bad. But anyway, it's just like, I don't know if God was letting me know it was going to happen or it's just a coincidence. But maybe, who knows? Write it down and then be like, God, what's this about? It was bizarre. It's always the bizarre things. There's a theme here. Fourth, noticing the detail. We're busy people. We roll around this life, getting on with stuff. But then there'll be like this weird little thing that catches your attention that doesn't make any sense to you. It's caught your attention. Someone came up to me once. I have some American football jerseys I like to wear. And they have NFL badges on, which National Football League. But this person came over to me and was like, this is really weird, but I think that God is saying that you're going into a new season of newfound love. And God had used my NFL jersey. And at that moment, it really meant a lot. It was a significant thing. God can use our clothes. He can do whatever he likes, but he uses clothes. And as we get to the end of this list, through the things we love, whether that be the people, or the hobbies, what we spend our time doing. One of our young people came to youth group 1 week on a Friday and was like, "Hey, Joe, I felt God speak to me." I was like, "Oh, awesome." Went in to hear this really holy story. And he was like, "Yeah, I was playing Rainbow Six Siege on Xbox," which is a shoot 'em up, kill all the bad guys game. And I was playing this guy who has a gun and a shield, and I just felt like God was saying he wants to be my shield. I was like, "That's great, but you're legally too young to play that game." But if God can talk to a 15-year-old boy through an 18-rated game, he can talk to us too. And so that backboard over there, I've never really explained to this wider congregation. Sometimes on a Friday, we get the youth to just chill out with some Christian music on and be like, draw what God's saying. And that's what that is. And because they have no context for that not being normal, they just go for it and it's amazing. And that's why Cameron, my dear young person, was playing his shooty game and God spoke to him. Because he thinks it's normal. And that's what we need to learn. It is normal, but we've just not been told. Anyway, downtime with Jesus is what opens our hearts and our ears. Don't limit what downtime with Jesus looks like for you. It's got to bring you life. It's got to make you more like you. It might be baking a cake. It could be, I don't know, painting pictures, whatever you like. Jesus made you who you are. Work out what he wants to do with you. Back to the random thing I said about a sheep. Later in John's gospel, Jesus is talking about hearing his voice, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I grew up in the countryside. For the first 8 years of my life, there was two cottages and a farm. It was awesome, because I just watched tractors and farm animals, and I was in my element. But what does it mean to be a good sheep? Sheep don't have to do a lot. They just have to eat grass and listen when the shepherd talks. So I think we can all translate that to be, I've just got to do my job, eat grass, and listen when Jesus is talking. And all that the sheep has to do is to be nearby. And it hears, and it comes. And that's the image I'd like to leave you with, is that this Jesus time, this downtime that should be free and beautiful and life-giving, will open up your ears to hear when the shepherd calls. There's no pressure to write theological dissertations in your free time to work out how sheep hear shepherds well. Unless you love to study, go for it. That might be how God uses you. Jesus is always speaking, and he's using stuff all the time. So as a church, there's three pieces of homework. Find a way to genuinely connect with God that brings you life. And get creative. For me, it's musical worship. I've rediscovered the band Wren Collective this week. It's amazing. I love them. I haven't listened for way too long. But their lyrics just speak to me about their hunger for simplicity in worship and just time with God. Secondly, so find a way to connect with God. Secondly, ask him what he's saying. And thirdly, believe God's talking to you. And if you feel like you've had a thought, a picture, an image, a dream, and it's for someone, God has this framework of what prophecy is like, and it's always encouraging. So if it's an encouraging thing for someone else, there's no harm in giving it. The worst that you'll do is let them know you were thinking about them and that you care. How incredible. I think we all know the world needs a bit more care for one another. So even if it's wrong, I'd be like, you know, the Teletubby man that I ran past and I got that word so wrong. It wasn't about La La or Dipsy or whoever they are. You know, I got it wrong, but he was like, "Thank you for stopping." There is no harm in trying. And it's all just about being up for the risk of looking a bit silly. That's it, really.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer, or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you, and His peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.